This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSIN action update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Questions surrounding the availability of Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, who's currently in the NFL's concussion protocol. But according to 610 Sports Radio Kansas City morning show host Bob Fesco, he says there are other concerns for the Chiefs.
Is it weird to say that I'm more concerned about some other injuries than I am about Patrick Mahomes? Because Patrick's going to play on Sunday. There's really no doubt in anybody's mind right now. And that was kind of the feel coming out of the game on, you know, Sunday. And I honestly think there's more concern about his toe than there is about the whole concussion thing. So I think from a Mahomes standpoint, he's going to be out there. He's going to play. But the one that I think, you know, is not getting enough conversation is Breshad Breeland, one of their starting defensive backs, who left the game with a concussion as well. And he's a very valuable piece to the Chiefs defense, and the way that Buffalo's been throwing the ball all over the place, got a bunch of wide receivers that can get you. He's the type of guy you want out there and playing. And so he's kind of the one that I'm really keeping my eye on this week when it comes to an injury standpoint of who may miss and who could be a valuable piece if they're not playing in this game.
610 Sports Radio Kansas City morning show host Bob Fesco on My Guys of the Desert, heard weekdays 5 to 7 Eastern on VSIN. The Kansas City Chiefs are the 3-point favorite over the Buffalo Bills. Breshad Breeland, concussion in the divisional round win over the Browns. He had 2 picks and 9 passes defended in the regular season. 6 tackles and a pass defended in the win over the Browns. He remains in the NFL's concussion protocol as well. On Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard, Mitch and Pauly discuss the line for this matchup and when will Bill's money show up.
And more discussion about where this number will go, and I know Johnny Avello and others have said they expect Chiefs money once we find out, and it looks like it's going to be Mahomes. Though I'm not so sure about that, though, because as Mike Baum said yesterday, we talked about on Monday's show, how about all the Browns money? If they're going to bet the Browns like that, double-fisted, why won't they bet the Bills? Because everyone knows this, that the Bills are a machine right now, and they're 9-1 ATS in their last 10. Kansas City's 0-8-1 ATS slide. Again, they haven't covered since the Jets game, November 1st. Bills are getting it done every week, and not to mention what they're doing straight up, with the exception of the Hail Mary. I mean, they're hot, and every time you go to the window and say, give me Buffalo, you're cashing tickets. Every time you go to the window, you're betting the Chiefs, you're losing.
Yeah.
I mean, people remember that, and then you just saw, you know, again, it's 19-3 at halftime, and then he gets hurt, and you know what happens, but they bet that down to 7.5. If they're going to bet the Browns, they're going to bet the hottest team in the league.
That's what I thought, too. I mean, I thought when, again, I'll go back to Sunday, when Mahomes did not get hurt yet, he's still in the game, and books had Chiefs up -4. I thought, oh my God, money's going to come in on the Bills for sure. And I talked to guys at the books, and Jeff Sherman just, nope, we took 3 bets on the Chiefs -4. That was it.
Mitch and Pauly, Follow the Money, weekday morning 7 to 10 Eastern on VSIN, discussing the line for the Kansas City Chiefs-Buffalo Bills game in the AFC Championship. The Chiefs at 1 point, a 2.5-point favorite, now laying 3, the total 53.5 at Arrowhead. In the NFC title game, the Green Bay Packers, 3.5-point favorites at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's another huge weekend of the NFL, but your betting card is full every day of the week with the NHL, the NBA, and college basketball. The VSIN experts are working on every sport every day to give you a betting edge. Subscribers get all of your insights and analysis for the NFL playoff matchups at our new NHL betting guide to help you make the most informed betting decisions possible. Become a VSIN all-access subscriber today. VSIN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe.
With your action update, I'm Mike Senna.
Get the latest VSIN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
It's the most exciting time of the sports betting year. With football playoffs, pro and college hoops, hockey, golf, soccer, tennis, and with all this action, you need the analysis and insights from VSIN sports betting experts more than ever. Get daily email best bets from our hosts and guests, 24/7 video streaming, and our point spread weekly betting guides to improve your betting IQ and give yourself an edge. Invest in your sports betting success with a VSIN subscription today at VSIN.com/subscribe. subscribe.
Did you miss a VSiN show? We have multiple daily and weekly podcasts to keep you up to date on all the latest sports betting action. VSiN Best Bets, bringing you the highlights from our daily lineup of shows, including Follow the Money and A Numbers Game. Market Insights with Josh Applebaum gets you ready with the latest lines and action. Beating the Book with Gail Alexander provides the insider view on analytics-based betting strategy from professional bettors, handicappers, and sportsbook operators. Visit vsin.com/podcast today to find all of our podcast options.
Welcome back to the program. It's hour number two, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, your host from Las Vegas. Your host from Denver is James Salinas. And James, back to the National Football League. Looking at the lines again, Kansas City minus -3 out here. That total 53.5. Tampa Bay, Green Bay. Green Bay is laying 3.5. That total's 51.5. Keeping that in mind, JJ, our producer, has an interesting situation from a trend standpoint. Outright winner is 33-5 ATS in the last 38 conference championship games, suggesting that we're going to have somebody cover here for sure.
Well, and also like this, throw the spreads out, right? Who's going to win the football game here? Because it's a matter of if you're winning the game, then you're covering that number. So if you're looking at the dog perspective, if you're going to fit it into this trend, then those dogs not only are covering, right? They're winning the game outright. And these are short, it's short prices, right? For the most part, it's three out here in Colorado anyway. And we'll see where that number goes. I think with the Chiefs, once it's officially announced that Mahomes will play, and then maybe that's where the money will start to come in on Kansas City potentially and move that lineup. But that's the hard part right now is I think this is so, you know, for somebody like me, we were talking about this with Andy, right? I've been betting sports since I was, it's been a very, very long time. As someone who grew up watching football, more so late 70s, but definitely in the 80s and even into the 90s, we got to the playoffs and it was kind of one-way streets. I mean, the Super Bowls were always blowouts. You know, the NFC just dominated for a long time. Now we're here. I think when it comes to we talk about parity. I don't know if that I wouldn't say there's so much parity from top to bottom in the NFL, but I think when we get to the playoffs, at least all these teams right now, we're down to the final four. All of them can win these. I can make a case for all four of these teams to win. Okay. But then you're looking at the playoff games. Look at the games so far throughout the playoffs leading up to the conference championship games. Really, I'm not going to say there were bad games, but there wasn't a whole lot of drama for the most part outside of, you know, what was going to happen with Mahomes. But most of these games outside of maybe the Bills game, maybe both those Bills games for against the Ravens and obviously against the Colts, too. There was some drama when it came to the scoreboard and what was going to happen in the fourth quarter. But, you know, a lot of these games, too, were kind of decided and you really had a sense of who was going to win as the game played out because it wasn't a whole lot of back and forth. So for me, if I'm going to lean towards one of the dogs in this matchup, I'm probably not looking at 3 points. I'll be looking more so at the plus money on the money line if I'm going to go that route.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense to me right there. Now, for our audience in tomorrow's show, I think we're going to have a treat. Not going to reveal that right now. We're efforting because we're going to get in-depth about some of these quarterbacks because I think that's necessary to help for decisions. So make sure you tune in for tomorrow's show. But right now, James, I want to ask you, from all four of these teams, Kansas City, Buffalo, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, who has a better culture? Like Tampa Bay, Tom Brady walks down there in Tampa Bay and kind of transforms that team and takes them to the NFC Championship game. We've seen Aaron Rodgers over a number of years, whether a previous coaching staff or this new coaching staff, but yet a lot of things have stayed the same with him. And then Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, that helps certainly. But then Buffalo. What McDermott's been able to do in short amount of time with Josh Allen.
Yeah, I think it's the culture will, for me right now, of those four teams, I'm going to lean towards the Chiefs because they've won. And okay. They were the most recent Super Bowl winner. So you can have all the culture, and that's great. You want to have accountability when it comes to performance, not only on the field, but in practice. How do you prepare and conduct yourself as a professional athlete in the NFL? So I think for all four of those programs there, especially with like you talked about with the Bills, love what McDermott has done in really a short time. I mean, we've talked about the exploits or the last lack of playoff exploits for the Bills for a number of decades, right? So tremendous job by what they've been able to do, and McDermott has been able to establish there from a culture to win, and it comes down to preparation. So much of it is preparation. There's so many times we see the Bills and they look like the better prepared team week in and week out, at least through the playoffs, not through the playoffs so much, but more so through the regular season, looked like really as the weeks progressed, the more dominant team, the more prepared team week in and week out. But when we talk about culture, I mean, it has to be the Chiefs, right? Because they have won the Super Bowl and they've are put themselves back here. How many times have we seen teams win the Super Bowl and they, obviously they don't even make the playoffs that next year, mm-hmm. let alone get back and host in this case, the AFC Championship game. For the Packers, I mean, it comes down to it's Aaron Rodgers, right? And LaFleur is a young coach there. And I think we talked about this earlier in the show, Pritch, and one of the concerns that I had when we went back and revisit those week six matchups between both of these championship teams or these games was the fact that I just didn't like the fight or lack of fight and lack of competitive spirit that we saw out of the Packers in that game against Tampa. And I want to go back and watch that San Francisco, that NFC Championship game last year too, because I feel like that kind of got away from them and just didn't see that competitive fight. And I think it's one thing to be the front runner and we're leading and we're winning and it's all fun and games and everybody's smiling, doing selfies on the sideline, running up to those jumbotrons are on the sideline now and doing poses when you make plays on the defensive side. But how are you when you're in a time of chaos, when there's adversity and you're behind now and you have to battle and compete? There's still some question marks for me right now as far as the Packers when we're talking about their ability to compete when they're down, and part of that is culture too.
Okay, we're looking at Super Bowl odds here, and so Packers +195, Chiefs +200, Bills +350, certainly the Bucks +450. And for the games themselves, if I want to back Tampa Bay and I want to catch these 3.5 points, I'm looking at the fact of Tom Brady in the summer wearing shoulder pads. Is Aaron Rodgers doing that? No, no. Is Mahomes doing that? No. He was signing a $1 billion contract. Josh Allen might have been doing that. But look at Josh Allen right now. But Tom Brady at 43 years old and the dead of summer with shoulder pads on, a little bit of cheating going on, certainly, avoiding the protocols from COVID, but yet getting the work in, though. And so that's what I'm talking about with culture, too. Walking into that locker room, and Mahomes has that. You know, Aaron Rodgers has that. Josh Allen might have that now, even though the team's kind of new. But I think I was looking for an edge here. Who has the edge in terms of which quarterback walks into that locker room, which culture will help a team prevail when there is adversity throughout the game?
Well, and that's breeds confidence. I think if anybody's going to come in and take a leadership role, and you're going to have to follow just based on not only what he's done in the past, all those Super Bowl rings and all the playoff experience that Tom Brady brings, but also you talked about it too, wearing shoulder pads in the offseason, the work that goes into it and establishing that as a culture where it's not just here's how we compete and perform during the game. So much of it is preparation, and it comes down to the leadership of your teams. We talk about leadership with the coaching staff and holding players accountable and what that looks like from a competitive standpoint to prepare week in and week out, day in and day out leading up to the games. But ultimately, yeah, it comes down to your players too. Nobody's got a better playoff acumen of these four teams right now than Tom Brady. And absolutely, why wouldn't you follow, especially when it's how you see how he sets the tone of how to prepare not only during the offseason, but day to day, week to week throughout a grind of the NFL season.
BetMGM has these specials, and I like these. Touchdown scores. Let's look at Buccaneers and Packers. Let's start there. Touchdown scores. Okay, first touchdown, Davante Adams +550. Anytime, he's a favorite there at -165. Last touchdown, Davante Adams is +550. Aaron Jones +750. First touchdown, Tanyan +800 to score the first touchdown. Mike Evans is 10-1. Fournette is 11-1. Godwin 11-1. So I guess these specials kind of suggest it doesn't matter the coin toss, but the Packers are maybe going to get that first score of the game.
Well, and maybe touchdown. They get the first score, but you touchdown, right? Yeah. And you've got it. But I think if you're going to play those, I probably wouldn't play those first or last. I have played anytime touchdowns, usually more so I'm looking at getting plus money, mm-hmm. like a Mike Evans, for instance, at plus 130. You know, that's not a huge juice to your favorite for you as an underdog better, but I'd be looking for more value in getting plus money on my investment with that. But ultimately, we have to break down, Pritch, what are the game plans going to be? And part of it, too, and I want to ask you this, when it comes to weather, and now it's only Thursday, so we've got a few more days, obviously, leading up to kickoff, but let's talk about that Green Bay game, and there's reports about, you know, it's going to snow leading up to the game, and I don't think the Packers are going to be so inclined to make sure we get all that snow off the field and we have clean grass out there, because they know how to play in that environment. But with you're talking about two Hall of Fame quarterbacks for both of these teams going into this matchup, this is for everything. You're going to the Super Bowl, win, and you move on. That's the ultimate goal for both of these teams here. I would suspect, now again, we're just speculating. We have to get in the minds of the preparation for these coaches of the game plan going in. I think it has to correlate with how you want to play these, because if I'm thinking about how they're going to play these games out, are we worried about establishing the running game, or this is it? We've made it all the way here. We're going to the Super Bowl. I've got Tom Brady on one sideline. I've got Aaron Rodgers on the other. Am I worried about, as a coach, will we need to establish the line of scrimmage and get some balance going to running game, or is it this is going to be more of I'm going to find ways to put the ball in our best players' hands, in these Hall of Famers' hands, when we're talking about the quarterback position? And if that's what we're looking at, and I suspect that's what I would be thinking as far as a game plan going, and that's the way I would be looking at as a better, I got to look at the receiver standpoint to be able to get at least from the anytime touchdown, right, or even that first touchdown, looking at it's going to come through the air rather than on the ground.
Yeah, I hear you. And so I did a little bit of work right before this segment on that notion, anticipating you might bring that up, because some people, okay, will these teams get one-dimensional? And some teams, you know, some people suggest that teams have already done that. Okay, taking into consideration Green Bay, Tampa Bay, every offensive play caller, they like to stick around that 60-40 pass run ratio. If you think about the seasons, Tampa Bay was at 62%, Green Bay was at 55%, believe it or not. Now, the last game that these two teams played, Tampa Bay, less reliance on Tom Brady, they were at 49%, almost 50% run-pass ratio, pass-run ratio. And then same thing with Green Bay. So they're identical, James, when it comes to how their play callers are calling the plays offensively right now.
Yeah. But now you're playing for the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. right? Now it's the conference championship game. And now it's when you're talking about the experience level, especially on the Tom Brady side, is Arians thinking we still want to have a good balance of running the football? That's where I think maybe the weather also plays a factor. And think about it from let's say it does snow prior to the game, that there's going to be snow on the field. I don't think it's scheduled, at least for now, 3 days out, that it's going to snow during the game, but it will be cold. You know, I'm looking at the current temperature or the current forecast right now, temperatures in the mid-20s, but there will be a bit of a wind chill at 10 miles an hour, so it's going to feel like it's going to be in the teens, and I think that's the killer right there, is that wind chill. That's the bite, right? And it gets into your extremities, it gets into your toes, it gets into your hands. As a receiver, especially as the game progresses, because the weather's, it's going to get colder, not warmer, because it's going to get later out there in Green Bay. Think about it from the receiver standpoint, especially a receivers that aren't used to that type of environment. Over the course of four quarters, does that have an impact on the game plan, especially as the game plays out? Or is it more so we're going to have to make in-game adjustments based on the score, where we're standing right now, currently first half, second half, etc.? What is the impact, especially for the receiver core and maybe for Tom Brady and his core there? Tom's used to playing in the cold weather up right. in New England, but how many of those receivers are used to playing in that kind of environment?
There's always tricks, James. Little plastic footies, you put them over your feet, then you put your socks on. So your feet don't get wet, and then they don't get cold. It's like the sock in a cold tub, that kind of theory behind it, right? So there's ways around that of keeping your toes and feet warm out there as players. So I'm sure these players are going to be able to do that as they get ready. Bills, Chiefs, real quick, in terms of touchdown scores, the anytime for Tyreek Hill is minus 225, Travis Kelce minus 115. We don't get the plus money till Edwards-Helaire at plus 130, Le'Veon Bell plus 155. But again, suggesting that, okay, the Chiefs, they are the favorites in terms of the first touchdown or the last touchdown scored in a matchup against the Bills.
Well, and that's the interesting matchup here is we know you can run the football at the Bills, although they did a tremendous job last week against stopping the run, but it was very one-dimensional Ravens offense going into that game. Now with Kansas City, you know it's on Mahomes, and he has the ability to spread the football all over the field here. I suspect the other part is Allaire. Yeah, he was tremendous in that Week 6 matchup. He hasn't played for over a month. He got hurt in that New Orleans game back in December, so even if he is active, which he probably will, how effective is he going to be? Ultimately, do you put the ball in their hands or do you put the ball in Mahomes' hands to sling the football around? And we know, I think if anything, we know the identity of the offense of the Bills. It is going to be, we are going to throw the ball. And yeah, they do spread it around a lot, but ultimately Diggs is going to get a ton of targets, whether it's across the 20, in between the 20s or down in that red zone. We are laying some money when it comes to somebody like Diggs, but I would definitely lay it with Diggs at 115 to score a touchdown anytime, and probably Kelce too, because I think you can get behind in between that secondary and those linebackers for the Bills. We saw the Colts exploit them in the passing game with the tight end position, and I think Kelce, his ability to line up all over the field, because he doesn't just line up right close to the line of scrimmage, he'll line up wide as well. Tough matchup for any team. Definitely a tough matchup for the Bills in this game as well. I would lean towards Kelce at $1.15. Lay a little juice for him to score a touchdown.
He's the ultimate eligible there, James. I mean, the guy is all over the place. He said it. So run-pass ratio, here we go. Kansas City, 62% on the season. Buffalo was 61% on the season. The last game that they played, Kansas City, believe it or not, 62%. Buffalo skewed it. They're up to 71% pass-run ratio right there. So great insight on your part, understanding Buffalo and what they want to do offensively, maybe helping out some bets, some situations with specials as well when it comes to your skilled position players. Up next, we're going to get to the highest and lowest scoring team in the championship weekend. Why? Because we can bet those. I love these situations that we can get into. James and I will discuss the highest and lowest scoring team of championship weekend. That's coming up next. The NHL, NBA, and NFL playoffs are here, so now it's time for you to get into Quick Picks. Play the daily sports parlay game with the highest limits and the biggest payouts on the fastest and easiest game in the business. Quick Picks keeps it simple with daily matchups and over-unders of the best players from all your favorite teams. Sign up for Quick Picks now. Get 100% free deposit bonus up to $100 and use PayPal so you can be confident that it's secure and legal. Not living in a state with legal mobile sports betting for you to play, no problem. Quick Picks offers legal parlay action in nearly 30 states, including New York, California, Florida, Massachusetts, Texas, and Illinois. It's legal for residents in 28 states, must be at least 21 years old. Go to quickpicks.com/vsendbonus to find out more. Welcome back to the program. Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas. You know, James, we have great shoes, boots we can put on in Denver, right? And when it's cold. But that notion that, you know, football players, they do slip on those plastic footies. And you got to keep the toes dry in order to stay warm out there. The extremities are what you're most worried about.
Yeah, right. And then because once those get frozen, it's hard over. To wake those. Yeah, it is. The party's over. And then also once those extremities, whether you're talking your fingers or your toes here, and in this particular case, talking about toes, now you've got frozen feet. You're not feeling your toes within your cleats. Now, how does that affect your route running as well, especially if that field is going to be wet and or have snow on it? So it's going to be slower footing and coming out of your break. So as a receiver, Pritch, if your feet are cold, your toes are cold, how does that impact your ability to cut and run the routes efficiently?
Well, it distracts you. I mean, you're so worried, you can't feel anything at times, right? And so it distracts you about or from running a route properly, certainly concentrating on the football. And so you have to do so much. What about if somebody's changing the play at the line of scrimmage too? Like you got to be locked in. You have to have that focus. And so you can't be focused on being cold or the fact that you can't feel your pinky toe. I mean, you got to be able to at least have that confidence out there that you can go out there and operate. So you do anything and everything that's necessary, Vaseline before the footies, everything to try to stay warm before the game. But as long as you're not distracted during the game, that is the key. Let's get to the highest scoring team. Who do you believe will be the highest scoring team from the conference championship weekend? Now, here we go with the odds. Chiefs plus 185. Packers plus 200, Bills plus 325, Buccaneers plus 375.
Yeah, that's. I think the weather will be something that you need to look for with both of these matchups. I'm not sure where that Chiefs. It's been kind of dropping. I saw it the other day at projected 50 degrees and a little bit of wind. Now it's talking about in the 30s and 10 mile an hour wind. So, well, yeah, right, but. Three days from now is always subject to change, but definitely want to keep that in mind. Whether you're looking at who's gonna be able to put the ball in the end zone, or that weather might impact their ability to do so. Here, I want to ask you. I have concerns for I don't know that I'm looking at that Packers game and knowing this the ability for both teams or both quarterbacks per se to be able to make, they're going to understand. And when you talked about it earlier, Rodgers kind of looking confused in that game back in week six. To me, it was lack of preparation, right. Maybe being a little fat and lazy going into that, especially then you jump up 10 to nothing early and maybe a little lackadaisical or a little arrogant. Let's just put it that way. A little cocky, a little arrogant out there and maybe took it a little lightly. From that standpoint though, I look at the Buccaneers secondary and I think that's for me the concern going into this matchup. It's a very young secondary. When they go nickel, Pritch, they have 11 years of experience in the NFL. So that's you talk about that collectively with five players. That's very limited when it comes to experience. Is that something that they're going to be able to exploit as far as Aaron Rodgers and his passing acumen in this game? If so, then there might be some issues with that Tampa Bay defense, because I'm not sure if they're going to be able to apply consistent pressure and definitely going to be able to confuse Aaron Rodgers and that Green Bay offense the way they did back in that Week 6 matchup.
That Week 6 matchup, indeed. Speed on the field, Devin White. The speed that they had in the secondary as well. They didn't really get after Green Bay in terms of Rodgers sacking him and things like that. They did move his feet, though. And they did have him throwing off balance at times. But I thought a lot of that, too, James, was mostly because of the looks in the secondary. The speed that they have, they can change coverages at the snap of the ball. And to me, that's what got to Aaron Rodgers more so than any pass rush or schemes up front.
So then it comes down to preparation, right? Mm-hmm. So they're right. Definitely going to do their homework from that game, week six and all the other games, looking back on how are they going to evolve and get better. They were just running really hot at that time before that week five bye. So I think that's the challenge right there. Another interesting dig as we move forward closer to Sunday with both of these games, but that game definitely in particular.
Yeah, we'll get back to football in the last segment, but up next is the NBA. That's coming up next. New BetMGM customers have a chance to win $100 when they place a $1 wager on the Lakers or Bucks to hit a three. Just download the app today, use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Lakers or Bucks to hit a three. It's a new customer offer and is paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old, located in Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, or West Virginia. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 800-522-4700, Colorado, Nevada. 800-GAMBLER, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 800-BETS-OFF, Iowa. And Tennessee, call Texas Redline, 800-889-9789. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard from Las Vegas, James Salinas out in Denver, Colorado. James, the NBA. I think we both had the opinion that the Lakers were going to be motivated and ready to go against Golden State on Monday. That didn't happen. Golden State showed up. Oubre, amazing. I liked his attitude on the court, by the way. But here you go, Lakers taking on the Bucks. They're catching 2 points on the road against Milwaukee. 228.5 is the total in this one.
Well, they dumped a 14-point lead in that fourth quarter, did the Lakers. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something that now they've had 3 days to kind of sit on that. And now you're going to go play a Milwaukee Bucks team, right? This is one of the contenders in the East. And I think what we've seen out of the Lakers, 7-0 so far on the road. And I think this is obviously in the time of COVID, totally different for the champion team going, the defending champion going on the road. A lot of times you're going and you're packed houses and so many players, especially a team like the Lakers and the star power that they have with Anthony Davis, LeBron James, sometimes a lot of other things that are going on off the court when you're going to these cities, especially in a city like Milwaukee where you're just going one time because you're playing in the East. There's a lot of distractions that go with that. Now they have the advantage where you're not having that, right? You're not having crowds in the stands and kind of maybe some obligations off the court prior to games that may serve as a distraction. And I think ultimately for the Lakers, it starts on the defensive side. When that team wants to play defense, and again, we talk about NBA and finding spots here, when they want to defend, they're one of the better defensive teams in the NBA. So it comes down to a want to here. And I think for the Lakers, I know LeBron's been kind of nursing an ankle injury over the last week or so, and not maybe as aggressive all the time offensively as what we suspect, because maybe he's still kind of favoring that. And these guys are going to have to deal with some of these lingering injuries all season long. But I think from the Lakers' standpoint here, I think they're going to, if you're thinking about blowing a lead the way that they did in the fourth quarter here, it starts on the defensive side, and I think that's where it comes here. I'm trying to find a side here. I can make a case for either side because I think it's going to be a very competitive game. Mm-hmm. And I think for the Bucks, that's where it's going to start, is on the defensive side too. So this isn't, I don't suspect, the Lakers really aren't this up and down transition type of team. That's not the game that they want to play for four quarters, and LeBron's not in that space right now, especially with his ankle injury. Right. Don't want to have to do that. I would suspect this is a game where you talked about, I said 229 out here. I would lean towards the under in this matchup. Big matchup. Teams are definitely going to bring it. There's not going to be a complacency from either of these ball clubs here. I think they bring it. It starts on the defensive side. So at 229, 228.5, I'd lean towards the under in that matchup.
From a size standpoint for me, James, what's notable was the sloppiness at the end of the game against Memphis, and then what you mentioned against Golden State, giving up leads that way. The Lakers and their tendency to be sloppy because they're that good. LeBron James showing his age at times. I know the ankle. But here's my question. So transition, AD, Giannis. AD looks like the youngest. It looks like the oldest, youngest player in the NBA to me sometimes. I mean, seriously, the guy looks like he's laboring out there as if he's Kareem in upper years, right? But no, he's 27 years old, and Giannis is out there on the court. If anything, AD should be able to take over in the event that LeBron has an ankle situation or sometimes his age showing up.
Well, and I think AD's been nursing some injuries, too. He's had an ankle injury as
well. He's nursing everything.
I know it. I know it. And that's where, but they're gutting through those. And that's the hard part here, right, is you don't know to the extent, the fact that they are getting minutes and they are on the floor, but how effective are they? And I think we've seen from the Lakers, when they want to play on that defensive end collectively as a team, it's not a matter of, well, they got good on-the-ball defenders. Like, they are committed to playing good team defense when they want to show. And I think that's where we're looking at this. And you're talking about, yeah, they're not as explosive offensively, and maybe it is the ankles, or they look a little winded or a little gassed. And, it was a short offseason for them, and the bubble and all the games that they had to play, competitive games. When you're playing those playoff games and competitive games the way that it was, and then you turn around, less than a couple months later, and you're back at it again, definitely be a grind. So definitely not the same offseason for the Lakers that a lot of other teams got to experience. experience. You know, the Bucks got sent home early from the bubble, so not as much wear and tear and grind. And then I think the other thing too with LeBron that we have to consider night in and night out is not just the grind of last year, but I mean, since he's come into the league almost two decades ago, crazy to think that, right? But I think it was 03 when he came in. Think about always in the finals, long stints throughout the playoffs, year in and year out, the grind that puts on you, as well as playing in the Olympics. It's amazing, honestly, that LeBron is still in the shape that he's in, considering, you know, there's only so much tread on those tires, and he keeps grinding along year in and year out. Credit to his offseason pro, whatever he does to keep his body in shape. I mean, he is very committed to it, so what a tremendous athlete from that perspective.
Yeah, they have the role players, and certainly I'm just looking for that other superstar AD, though. I mean, he was tremendous in the bubble, but sometimes when you have the situation with LeBron, I mean, you got to step up and nurse this, nurse that. I get it. New York Knicks, Golden State. Golden State, a little bit of a hot streak right now. They are laying a 4.5, 214.5 as well. It seems like Golden State has figured some things out on the offensive end and getting tremendous effort on the defensive end, James.
Yeah, I think Draymond Green coming back. He's got a great instincts for offensively to see the floor, space the floor, pass the ball, and find the open man. Like that's what his game is, right? He's not going to put it on the floor. He's not going to go. He's not trying to. He's going to look for his teammates rather than look for his touches to shoot. And I think since he's been able to come back and get acclimated to, there's just, you know, a lot of turnover of the roster there. And I think from this standpoint for the Warriors, you know, this is their third game in 4 days, and you know they're coming off back-to-back wins Monday against the Lakers and then the Spurs. So is this potentially a flat spot? Now you're playing in name, the New York Knickerbockers, but it's a bad team, and it's been a bad team for a long time. This might be one of those flat spots that we see out of the NBA teams. Third game in 4 nights for the Warriors, coming off of 2 big wins against, you know, your in-conference, some of your conference rivals when you're talking about the Lakers and the Spurs. Now you're playing a bad Knicks team. You know, the Knicks have trouble scoring, but I might look at first half Knicks from this perspective. They're going to be ready to play. It's the Warriors. They're going to want to show out. And at least from the energy level, I think we'll see much more of it on the Knicks side. I might lean towards the first half play, 2.5 or maybe 3 if you can find it, plus points for the Knicks first half over.
All right. Some more picks and maybe some leans, and certainly back to the National Football League in the final segment. That's coming up next right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Everybody, become a VSIN All Access member today and get our expert betting analysis for the NFL Conference Championship Weekend and every sport in action for less than $22 per month. Receive daily emails with our best bets from hosts and guests, 24/7 video access, and our point spread weekly betting guides. It's everything you need to increase your sports betting IQ. Start your free trial right now at vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the program. It is Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you. James, Pelicans and the Jazz. Interesting matchup here. Very interesting matchup here as we finish up the NBA and wrap up. It's a light schedule, certainly. But you have New Orleans catching 7 points here. Some star power with Zion, of course. 216.5. How do you see this matchup playing out?
Well, I think for the Pelicans, it starts on the defensive end or whatever is left of them to try to put any defensive pressure on it, whether it's perimeter or in the paint. I mean, they're playing the Jazz again. The Jazz lit them up the other night for threes, and the Jazz have been doing that to everybody. I think we talked about this with Andy in NHL, right? Where, at least for me, early in these seasons, especially in the COVID era, looking for teams that didn't have a lot of turnover when it came to either coaching staff or roster. And definitely, this is pretty much the same team for the most part for the Jazz coming back from that exit against the Nuggets in the bubble, especially the way that they went out. Not a lot of turnover. So identity-wise, they know who they are. We talked about it with a number of these teams, with the Nets playing a lot of five-out offense. And, you know, that's kind of similar to what the Jazz do. It's a drive-and-kick team, and they have a lot of perimeter shooters. They're shooting. They're one of the best three-point shooting, at least right now, for sure. They're the best three-point shooting team in the league because they have a lot of guys that can get to the cup off the bounce, draw defenses, kick it out there. And I think that's the hard part in the NBA is we see the closeout defense or just the lack of closeout. Really, it's players running at shooters and running past shooters, trying to they leave their feet. They're trying to block shots, which rarely happens. Shot fake, square up, bust it down. And I think that's what we're seeing out of the Jazz, playing with a lot of confidence. The only concern for me with the Jazz, seven and a half out here, is that they've won six straight, but now you're just playing the Pelicans team that you just beat down the other night. Maybe somewhat a bit of a letdown because we're looking at the Pelicans here. You know, it's been a struggle for them. They're on a very long road trip. The last home game they had was back on January 8th, and it's a young team for Van Gundy, and he's having to, we talked about culture and identity, he's having to establish one. And when you're having some of these prized players that, you know, haven't really had to do a whole lot of defensive playing in the NBA or playing throughout their young careers coming in from college and AAU, et cetera, it's always been about playing with the ball in their hands and not a whole lot of effort or defensive acumen of how to play team defense on the other side of the floor. And we're seeing that play out with the Pelicans. I don't think I'm going to lay this pitch with Utah earlier. Utah's clearly the better team and the more confident team right now. But it could be kind of a letdown spot for the Jazz. Maybe come out a little flat in this sense. But then look at trying to find an in-game. Maybe the second half, that's where they really jumped on the Pelicans. The last game, the first game of go-around the other night, was second half just came out for a blitz. They're going to get whatever shot they want. It's just a matter of how much energy are they going to have to put it out there. And maybe some competitive pride steps up for the Pelicans, seeing how they got worked there the other night up there in Utah.
Yeah, Jazz 9-5 ATS right there too, and they are playing great basketball right now. Land 7, 216.5 to total there. Did you find out information about Wichita State and Memphis?
No, I mean, I like Wichita State in that spot, right? We talked about it where it's the kids coming in, tough-minded kids, chip on their shoulder, more of a veteran experience type of team when it comes to college, for whatever that's worth, with juniors and seniors, and not a single senior on that Memphis roster. And, you know, a lot of players with accolades to them, but obviously there's only one basketball to go around, plus the fact that Memphis they've only played one game since December, and they lost that, you know, end of December. They lost the other night. That was their first game that they played since December 29th. I just don't like I like matchups like this when we're talking about conference teams. You got a chippy Wichita State team here that is going to come in with a chip on their shoulder. Yeah, all right, we're going to get to play all these five-star recruits that are in Memphis, and this is the AAC version of the Kentucky Wildcats. They're going to bring it. They're going to be ready to come in and compete, and they're going to want to come in and see how does Memphis respond back to them. How competitive? What does your competitive spirit look like? And are you going to take that challenge, or are you going to be willing to play through contact as long as the officials cooperate and don't get overly happy with the blowing the whistle against Wichita State? Love the spot here. It's 4.5 now as the dog for Wichita State, right? But like I said, I don't know, considering I saw it at 2.5. Now it's up to 4.5. I'm going to wait up until I watch the pregame. I want to make sure that there hasn't some kind of roster move with Wichita State, because we're seeing that in every sport, Pritch. We know that folks are players for whatever league are getting called out last second due to COVID and issues like such. So I'm going to make sure of that. But as long as that roster is fully intact, absolutely love the spot for Wichita State as that dog plus 4.5.
Tip off is 7 p.m. Eastern out here in Vegas. Wichita State's catching 3.5 points. So you're getting a great number out there in Colorado.
Shop around. Yeah. Right? I mean, if you shop around, you could find those numbers. And that's what had me concerned. The fact that I saw it at 2.5, now it's up to 4.5. Mm-hmm. Am I missing something there with the roster move? That's what I need to make sure of. Yeah,
absolutely. And I like the Chip. I mean, you got an interim head coach, certainly. And then, you know, the thing about the Chip, though, with Memphis, Memphis clearly underachieving right now. At what point do they start to play to expectations and then certainly overachieve? If they overachieve with that talent, watch out for Memphis.
Well, the hard part is what you have to work through those things in practice, right? Mm-hmm. And so they just not having when your facilities are closed and very, you know, the games are being canceled. You don't get to put it out there at a competitive standpoint, and you know, and with a matchup with another team, you're having to work through some of those things in practice. But then you're not even having practices because your facilities are closed. It just makes it difficult. And Memphis isn't the only team having to deal with this, but here right now, you're talking about this matchup not playing well. Like I said, Memphis averages more turnovers per game than they do assists. Not a good. This may be, I think, early on, and maybe you might find a better number. So I may not have to play it +4.5, even though I like that number. This may be a game where Memphis comes out and they come out with the energy. I think there are going to be X amount of fans in the stands for whatever that's worth. It won't be full capacity by any means there, but they will have some crowd support and they come out energized and maybe they get off to a hot start. You get a better line in game with Wichita State. Maybe you can add on to that, because ultimately I think last 10 minutes of that second half, last 5 minutes when it comes really turns into a half court execution game, I think that's where Memphis is going to struggle in this matchup on both sides, not just the offensive side but also defensively too, because you've got to work through those things in practice as well. Young team, like we talked about, not a lot of experience, not a lot of cohesion when it comes to playing together. That's where those last 5 and 10 minutes of the second half are crucial.
Okay, looking at the Pac-12 real quick, Mick Cronin out there, UCLA, they're 24th in the country right now. They got Cal. They are laying a big number on the road. James, any thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, I don't like. Normally, I like home dogs in conference in spots like that. That's a big number, and obviously UCLA is the better team. But it's COVID, right? So we just don't have the same environment for those home teams in college basketball that we would normally have in conference play. You know, if this was normal times, that place is going to be rocking. They're going to be fired up to go play the Bruins. You know, Bruins coming into their house up there in Cal. In this case, I can't make a case for the dog. That's part of it. It's not going to be the same energy. But, yeah, Mick Cronin, I mean, this is what he is. His teams are going to defend. They're going to share the ball. I think they have 6 players currently right now, even with the loss of one of their stars back a few weeks ago, 6 players averaging double figures. That tells you that they play unselfishly. They share the ball. It's not having to feed through one player, and that at any given night they can ride a couple hot hands. So UCLA, they're going to be something to watch as the season progresses. Love what Cronin has been able to do in a very short time span there in Westwood.
Well, I know. Isn't it incredible? The turnaround like that. I mean, we would all love to see it happen with the Buffs going, doing well, even though they took one on the chin against Washington recently, but doing okay. So the Conference of Champions, if you will, with a new commissioner, apparently, Larry Scott stepping down, which I think a lot of people are happy about.
Yeah, apparently that's the case there for not only basketball but football on that side as well. And that's
a lot of people, including myself, there, James Salinas.
Well, tell me, why is that? What was his impact, or what is his exit out of there? What do you think that means for the Pac-12 going forward, especially in football?
Well, how are you irrelevant when it comes to the college football playoff situation? I mean, the Pac-12 is irrelevant in the college football playoff. And a lot of times, you know, you're playing late at night and certainly some of these games, some of the matchups. And I just think the way that it's been ran, is structured, Merton Hanks is now involved. We need a new Pac-12 commissioner to kind of catch up with the big boys within the Power 5, which is crazy to think about. We're in the Power 5, but don't feel like we're in the Power 5. And a lot of that was because of the previous commissioner.
Well, and so there, now you go. Now it comes down to the whole search, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty of debate topics going through as far as what's going to be the best fit and what is really going to be the plan and the vision, right? It's
right.
The long-term vision. It's not just what does this mean for next year, but what does this look like vision-wise and mission-wise for the Pac-12 going forward, basically for the next decade and beyond, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look forward to that, and also look forward to tomorrow's show. James, I have a notebook full of notes for you tomorrow. For the NFL Conference Championship games, and still efforting, working on a big surprise for you, too. So be ready as we break down those games, and in particular quarterback play, and get our audience ready for the NFL, NFC, AFC Championship games.
Oh, well, great. Now we're going to – that's the ultimate tease into tomorrow. I don't want to know. Keep me surprised, too. I'll look forward to that as well. Looking forward to tomorrow. But at that point, we'll be 48 hours away, and ultimately – great for us to get through this point. Weren't sure how this was going to play out for the NFL season, but we've gotten all the way to this point where now we're down to the conference championships. And when we get back on the air tomorrow, man, we're 48 hours away from kickoff.
Yeah, I cannot wait. Good luck on your games. Certainly a great job as always today, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.
A lot of fun, man. Hey, good luck to you tonight as well. Look forward to everybody else. Have fun, and good luck with your bets tonight, fellas.
Absolutely. Take care of yourself out there in Denver, Colorado. James Salinas, that'll do it for us today. My guys in the desert coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll see you tomorrow.